jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm looking at my thermometer here on my phone. It is 40 degrees. First time over freezing in Ohio in 16 days. And we're on our way up. Boy, March just around the corner. So hopefully our internet continues to work and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for joining us. I hate Mondays because there's so much stuff to talk about on Mondays. And there really is a lot to talk about today. But I was lucky enough to be able to twist the arm of our friend Pastor Matt Twell and get him on to talk about Defy Tyrants, the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, and just a little bit of crazy stuff of what's going on in the world and why we're losing the pro-life fight and all that. So hang in there. Pastor Matt's going to be with us. He's audio only this morning because it's still so cold and so much snow up there in Wisconsin. And he's like a groundhog. He couldn't really poke his head out into the light. So bear with us. Matt's going to join us here in a second. Hey, listen, I got some I worked all weekend on some events that I want to make you guys aware of. If you could pull up the calendar real quick, Spencer. Now, folks, I don't have all of them on. But again, I'm going to talk more later on this week about getting these local huddles gone and trying to help you guys get them up and running virtually and all that kind of stuff. But like this weekend, next weekend coming up, Chad's having an event. We're having one here in Ohio. Randy's having an event down in Oklahoma. But I want to show you some other things that are important that are on the schedule. Mike Spaulding's Go There For conference is March 5th. They're having the second huddle down in Georgia on March 6th. Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade having a huddle on March 13th. June 18th. These are some big ones now. This is our yearly huddle, June 18th here in Ohio. Tennessee Salt and Light Brigade huddle down in August 20th, and then Naomi and Tim just locked up a date in July. Isn't it July that we're having an event there?
Yes, we are on the 19th.
July 19th. We're going to get the information out there. A lot of great stuff going on, and I just want you all to know that in mid-April, I'll give you the dates later, we're doing a spiritual warfare conference with Russ Dizdar and his crew. Here in Ohio. So, man, we got some really, really, really great stuff on the horizon. So be encouraged. We're fighting back. I don't know what that looks like. And one of the problems that we have, as I said just before I came on the air, we're still dealing with a lot of people who think that the smartest thing they can do is to obey and follow the government. Not that I'm against the government, but I like to say that the same people who are telling you to take a vaccination are the same people who tell you that an unborn baby's not alive, right? It's the same people. And at some point, we have to understand that science has become fake and politicized, and we can no longer trust the scientists, nor can we trust the government and those who are supporting and enforcing the science. Real quickly, I shouldn't do that. I'll probably get in trouble. Yeah, go to my Facebook page real quick. Hang on, Matt. I'll have you right up here in a second. I just got to show you this without saying anything. This little video I posted last night. It's about a minute. And scroll down there, Spence, on my own page. Got this little guy. I saw this little guy here, and everybody right here, about 30 seconds. Hey, Pastor Matt, I hope you can hear this. This guy here is about 5 years old, and he's standing in front of a fireplace, and somebody asks him the question. Hey, this guy's smarter than most pastors. Go ahead and play it there, Matt. Spencer.
David is going to share some wisdom for all you people who are afraid of Rona.
Go. So, these angels, you have to take this masks off. These mighty angels standing shoulder to shoulder and the holy God can defeat anything, even the corona.
Amen. Amen. Those holy angels standing shoulder to shoulder can defeat anything, even a mighty God, even the corona. So that's the way I feel about it. Stand up, fight back, push back. Hallelujah. So, Matt, I'm going to play a video real quick, Matt, and I'm going to, most of you know, Pastor Matt Truella, the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, Defy Tyrants is his actual website. And we prayed this last week. Spencer, I'm trying to figure what I sent you. Oh, you told me I sent you the same video twice, didn't I? I didn't mean to do that. Go ahead and play this. Go ahead and play this one real quick, because Pastor Matt and they created this video last week. This one's called, go ahead and play it, man. Go ahead and play it, Spencer.
No, I have never seen anything like this in my life. No, this is unbelievable. It's just wrong. Not giving us a choice of what to do. Telling us what we have to do is totally wrong. And I think a lot of people are fearful. They're pressured. Yeah, I'm very worried about this generation. Too many people are programmed by false information on television. It needs to be tuned out. When our light shines, our light is love, it's righteousness, it's doing the Lord's work, it's exposing evil, it's having a trust in the Lord, knowing that He directs our paths. There's a huge battle for good and evil, and I have a suspicion that there's another revolution coming. And I think people need to be prepared and rely on the Lord. Important for parents to instill in their children from a very young age the Word of God.
Have our faces low to the ground, humble before your God, repentant, the Lord's need, ready and willing to use by you to serve.
Yes, I have hope that God will raise up an army of strong men, Christian men that know how to protect and provide and speak out about the evils and the dangers in our society. Yes, I have much hope that the Lord will bring that about.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, but carnal, or not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And friends, the truth of the matter is, for the most part, and if you watch this show at all, you understand that that's really kind of the focus of what we are and what we're about is rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. And the need for us, those of us who carry the name of Christ, to actively involve ourselves in the issues of the day through governmental confrontation, governmental occupation, if it would be. And I got to know Pastor Matt Truella, oh, I don't know, probably 15, 20 years ago now. And he started out with a ministry, probably still has it, called Missionaries to the Preborn. Think about that for a minute. Missionaries to the Preborn. Wow. A lot of people going to Africa and Asia and everything. Matt's for 25, 30 years been missionaries to the preborn. But Matt came up with a doctrine of the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, Defy Tyrants. And it's caused quite a shaking throughout much of Christendom, because it's just the opposite of what most people are hearing from their pulpits. Romans 13, bend over, bow to the government, obey the government no matter what. Pastor Matt, how did you go so wrong and say that we're actually supposed to obey the government, disobey the government when they're wrong. How'd you come up with this idea of defying tyrants?
Yeah, well, it's historical to the church. And of course, it's found in scripture. So that's how I found it. So men have wrote about this for centuries. The early churchmen, all the way up to our day, all pointed to scripture, gave a proper rendering of Romans 13, unlike the rendering that is popular in American Christianity today. The churchmen of old realized, the reformers realized, that when it comes to civil authority, they have a particular role and function. They have limits. And if they go outside those limits, we have a duty to obey God rather than man. So when the state commands that which God forbids, or forbids that which God commands, we're to obey God rather than man. And when they go outside their God-given limits regarding their role and function, we have to consider at that point, too, should we obey them or not also? And they are totally outside their limits now with all this masking and nonsense that's going on. They're using it for evil. And so we have to obey God here.
Matt, what happened, Matt, in your estimation? How old are you, Matt? Are you 60?
60 years old, yeah.
Yeah, I just guessed that you were about 60 years old. So you've been at this thing for a while. Where did the pulpit, as you say, churchmen, where did they go so wrong, Matt?
Well, to me, in recent history, one of their big departures from faithfulness was the whole seeker-friendly environment, where Christians and churchmen began to want to be liked rather than be faithful to Christ. And because they made that the preeminent thing under their seeker-friendly system, that took us totally off course. And I remember when it first came out, Coach Dave, in the late 80s, early 90s, this whole seeker-friendly mentality, most people thought it was a fad that would be fading away within a year or two, like other fads that have come and gone in Christianity. And unfortunately, it became the prevalent form of Christianity. It entrenched itself, and it really has aided and abetted the tyrants, because it's a false love gospel that they teach. It's not true biblical love. And so love is used as a sword to get everybody to conform with evil. And I always tell people, you cannot, remove the ethic of love from scripture, because once you do, you can justify anything with the quote unquote ethic of love. Even two men or two women marrying can be justified under the ethic of love. It has to be defined by Holy Scripture. So anyways, I think that was the biggest departure, and it caused many people to be put back on their heels and to feel like they were unspiritual or unloving if they didn't go along with this whole phony paradigm that was created by churchmen back in the 90s.
So Matt, you've been at this thing a while, and you basically cut your teeth on the pro-life movement. You guys are missionaries of the pre-born. But Mike, Matt, you've really had a transformation in your own life, as many people have, to realize that the term pro-life has really, really, man, they've really taken a hold of that. They've really taken that and perverted that to the point where someone being pro-life isn't even pro-life anymore. Can you explain that evolution as you've seen that take place?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've seen, and we just posted a video about this over the last couple of weeks, is the fact that for decades and decades now, the pro-life movement comes up with bills, the Republican legislators introduce them, the Supreme Court or some federal court trashes it all, and then we do the whole thing again. I mean, we just saw this last week in South Carolina. They passed the heartbeat bill. And Henry McMaster, who's the governor there, who I've met with in the past and talked to him about the doctrine of lesser magistrate and the need to interpose fully for the preborn to exercise the sovereign liberty, rights, and duties of the state of Carolina in defiance of the federal judiciary and check the federal judiciary and stop the bloodshed of the preborn. He got on his Facebook and was bragging about how we passed this heartbeat bill and how we'll fight it to the end. And I wrote on there and I said, yeah, fight it till the end until a federal court tells you have to obey. And sure enough, the very next day, the federal judiciary stopped the law and said it cannot go into power. And now they've entered into a yet another legal case with the federal government, which will have the same outcome of every other heartbeat bill has had in the country. And that is, the government says it's not lawful.
So, Matt, so
interposition, so Matt, interposition has to take place where states defy the federal judiciary and no longer allow this bloodshed to go on.
So, Matt, in the simplest terms, because words have meaning, give us a definition, Matt, or an explanation or an example of interposition, because your ministry, Defy Tyrants, I love it. I love that it's catchy. I mean, it says everything. But, Matt, people don't even understand, really, the whole idea, number one, of what a tyrant is, number two, what it means to defy one, number three, how we should defy them. What is interposition, Matt?
Interposition is where you place yourself in between the oppressor and his intended victim. And it can be done verbally or it can be done physically. And an example of that would be what Christians did 30 years ago. You may recall, Coach Dave, by the tens of thousands, they interposed at the doors of abortion clinics themselves, placing themselves in between the preborn child and the abortionist who wanted to murder them. So when it comes to the doctrine of lesser...
They called those rescues, right? They called those rescues.
They called them rescues, yeah.
Right. Yep. People go block.
And the Lord used it.
Yeah,
the Lord used it powerfully. Yeah, you would literally block the door. And it was nonviolent, you know, then the police would come up and arrest you. And we saw many babies rescued from death because the mothers then had time to ponder, you know, what they were thinking about doing, people talking to them, and they wouldn't kill their preborn children. So when it comes to the interposition of the lesser magistrate, they use their lawful office in interposition against the superior authority that's acting tyrannically, that's acting lawlessly. In this case, it's the federal government, it's the federal judiciary, it's the Supreme Court that has decreed lawlessness in the land. So those who are actually standing in opposition to the Supreme Court regarding the murder of the preborn, they're not the lawless ones, they're not the anarchists, they're actually trying to restore order to society.
So Matt, interposition in its most simple terms, and I'm sure that many of the people who are listening to us today will be able to understand this. It would be a situation where somebody grows up in a home with a roaring drunk as a father. And dad, mm-hmm. He goes off and he works all day, and then he comes home at night, hits a few beers before he comes home. When he comes home, he's this raging drunk, and he now wants to take it out on the children. And so the wife has a decision she has to make, whether she will interpose, knowing that dad is the head of the household. But when dad pulls off his belt and he's going to go begin spanking the kids or swatting them with the belt, mom has to make a decision. Am I going to throw myself between the tyrant, this drunken dad, and these poor little kids who are defenseless? That at its very core is the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, isn't it, Matt? That she would have an obligation.
Fantastic.
An obligation is to stand between this drunken dad and this helpless little child who's about to get whipped with a belt. That's interposition, is it not?
Absolutely. That's a fantastic illustration. Excellent. That's exactly what interposition is. And we see it in scripture time and time again. Like the Hebrew midwives were told to kill the male Hebrew children. They interposed. They refused to obey the civil authority and instead let the children live. And countless other examples. You have Jonathan when he disobeyed his dad's dopey edict about not eating anything, didn't hear about it, ate some honey. Saul wanted to kill his own son. The people interposed and said, not one hair of his head shall be touched who brought such a great victory to Israel today. That's interposition in scripture.
So what you've done, Matt, is you've said, wait a minute, if we're going to interpose in our homes, if we're going to interpose in other areas, then why don't we use this same approach to a tyrannical government, a government who says through an edict of a 7-3 vote of the Supreme Court that it's okay to murder babies. And here we are some 44, 45 years later, still murdering babies. And our only hope is we turn to state legislatures to pass a state law saying no abortion in our state, only to have the tyrant, the federal courts, slap down the states and say, listen, we're king, we're the Supreme Court, we're going to make the decision, not you little peons. So interposition would be those whether it be a sheriff, whether it be an elected official, whether it be a government, who would stand up and say to the federal judiciary, you have gone too far. You have no authority here in Ohio. We say stop it. That would be governmental interposition. Am I close, Matt?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's actually what our founders expected, Coach Dave. They expected that when the federal government began to play the tyrant, that, you know, first off, they established a federal government, a true federalism, I should say. So in a true federalism, you have multiple levels of government, multiple branches at each level, so that if any one branch or branches begins to play the tyrant, another branch or branches will check. That's why we say checks and balances, or interpose. And stop the tyranny of the branch or branches that are acting tyrannical. And they made it clear they expected the states to interpose against the federal government if they began to act tyrannically. And that happened just 11 years after the ink had dried on the U.S. Constitution, where you had states who had to interpose to stop unjust law made by the federal government. Both Virginia and Kentucky interposed against the evil of the Alien Act. So this is what they expected. Unfortunately, what we've seen in America today is that the states have been reduced to mere provinces. They've taken the federal money. They do the bidding of the federal government, therefore, rather than doing what's right in the sight of God or those who are under their jurisdiction in the states, they do the bidding of the federal beast because of all the money that gets showered upon them. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand the states weren't set up at the beginning of our country to be mere provinces of the federal government, to be mere implementation centers of unjust or immoral federal law, policy, or court opinion. The states actually formed the federal government. So it's extremely important for us to teach our magistrates what their duty is in the sight of God regarding interposition for the preborn. In fact, 13 states now have introduced bills exactly what you just described. Stop abortion completely, no exceptions, treat it as murder, and defy Roe v. Wade. Will not acknowledge any federal judiciary, including the Supreme Court, that says, no, you have to murder the preborn. Defy them. Interpose. Do your duty in the sight of God. Unfortunately, in all 13 of those states, all of those bills have been killed by the Republican leadership and the pro-life, pro-family groups. The very people who claim to be for the preborn have killed all these bills. They've never been killed by the pro-abortion lobby.
So, Matt, I got a lot of people going to want to ask you some questions, so bear with us here a second, Matt. Guys like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and go ahead and name them, these John McCain, these pro-life Republicans who have done nothing really to stop abortion are the ones who eventually bring the hammer down and crush legislation from the states. Would that be a fair assessment, Matt?
Well, yeah, they do it at the federal level, but there's plenty of men just like them at the state level in every state, including here in Wisconsin. It's awful to watch. And one of the things I like best about what happened with the whole Trump thing is, for the first time, many people have realized, well, the Republicans aren't our friends to a great extent, and that there are massive amounts of traitors and phonies within the Republican Party because they were forced out of their lairs and to expose themselves to the frauds that they are. And I've talked to people about this for 20 years, Coach, about, you know, you think the Republicans are really held there to help the preborn, just as one example. And I said, but they aren't. They're helping sustain the bloodshed of the preborn because they actually refuse to do their duty and stop the killing of the preborn. Now, people would look at me like, you're crazy. And I would tell them, you think I'm crazy just because you're not engaged. If you get engaged in politics, you'll realize the duplicity here, the evil that's going on here, and that the Republicans aren't what you think they are. And so now, so many people, I'm talking about millions of people, now see it for what it is, and you no longer have to sit there and have that odd look at you. They're on fire, and they want to see things changed.
So, Matt, here's a good example. Here in Ohio, our governor's Matt Mike DeWine, who was best buddies with John McCain and Lindsey Graham. He was one of the Keating Six. But No, he's done all this masking and all the shutdown of the businesses. And you know, Matt, the Republican Party has not raised up at all to push back against Governor DeWine, which would be, again, the way that the Constitution, the Ohio Constitution is set up, is it's the job of the Republican Congress to hold Governor DeWine accountable and say, you can't do that. No, you don't have to wear masks. No, you don't have to social distance. No, you don't have to shut down your business. But Matt, again, the Republicans won't even stand up and do that. Now, is Wisconsin, have you guys taken the masks off yet, Matt?
No. No, they're all walking around here like you're the only guy in Piggly Wiggly without a mask on every time you go out. No, it's absolutely insane. In fact, Coach, we haven't seen one Republican legislature anywhere in the country. And understand, these are both Republican and Democrat governors that have been playing the tyrant. And we haven't seen one Republican legislature that has stopped the people of the governor, including our legislature here in Wisconsin. We have only seen resistance at the county level. And that's an important point. People have to understand the importance of county government. And we've seen sheriffs, county boards, and we've even seen at the local level with mayors and city councils standing in defiance of our governor here and governors around the country in interposition, protecting the people of their county. Here's a great story I love to share about interposition so your listeners get it. Coach, to add to your, the explanation you gave with the father in the home, that was excellent. So here in May of last year, Pritzker, governor of Illinois, which is just below us here in Wisconsin, playing the tyrant like crazy. He adds his latest decree, and his newest and latest decree back in last May was, if any business owner opens before I say you can open, you will now be arrested for a misdemeanor and charged with a crime. So 5 days later, this little county on the Mississippi River called Madison County there in Illinois assembles their county board, and they put together a decree informing the governor that all of their businessmen are free to reopen now, and then cautioning the governor and the state against interfering against their businessmen or against their county. So Governor Pritzker responds in good tyrannical fashion. He sends out a thing declaring, I'll cut off your federal money and blah, 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 and all this stuff. 7 days after the county, and they're the lone county, the only county in the whole state of Illinois that stood up against the governor, which, by the way, the guy who heads that county read my book on the Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates 3 years before. And 1 week after they took their stand, the Illinois State Police put out a press release declaring they will not arrest anyone in the state, any businessmen in the state, who opens their business before the governor says. And then the very next day, Governor Pritzker rescinded his order.
Yeah, cut him off at the knees, didn't he?
Lesser Madison.
Amen. Cut him off at the knees.
Amen.
So, Matt, listen, I want to let some of these people get in here, but before we do, Matt, very clearly, at the best that you can, please articulate Romans 13 to us, Matt, because that misteaching is what has paralyzed, I believe, the church into the position that we're in now, that you have to obey the government. Matt, come on. They're ordained God, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I actually have a appendix in my book on the doctrine where I cover Romans 13. And it's actually, we have that appendix at our website, defytyrants.com. And I encourage people to go there and, use it in your social networking when these discussions come up, because they come up all the time. You see them in threads all the time. And it's a short 14-page treatise on what I'm about to say to you. So first off, if you go to the text of Romans 13, you'll notice that nowhere does it actually say that we're always to obey the civil authorities. Rather, men impose that on the text. It's what we call eisegesis. Eis is the Greek word for into. So what it is you're reading into Scripture something that isn't there.
Amen.
In fact, when you look at the Bible, there isn't one Scripture in the entire Bible that says we're always to obey the civil authorities. So that's the first thing. And that brings us to the second thing. It's an attack on good biblical hermeneutics to suggest that we're always to obey the civil authorities. Because when you read the scriptures, you see there's many times where the people of God disobey the civil authorities and God commends them for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so this is important. The hallmark of good Protestant hermeneutics is scripture interprets scripture. Scripture with a big S interprets scripture with a small s. In other words, when you're looking at a particular verse, scripture with a small s, you have to look at it in the light of the whole of God's word, scripture Amen. With a big S.
Amen.
So scripture with a big S interprets scripture with a small s. You see all these instances, you know, I mentioned one already, the Hebrew midwives. You see Daniel,
Moses.
You know, praying anyway, Moses. You see the Magi, you know, you see the apostles, you know, all these examples of where the people of God disobey the civil authorities. And in all those situations, you happen to notice that they're either told to do something evil or told they can't do something good.
In fact,
either way, the people of God obeyed God rather than man.
So
and that's
Paul,
where we get the standard.
Yeah, Paul, who wrote Romans 13, spent a lot of his time in jail, didn't he, Matt? So for a guy who
spent a lot of time in jail. In fact, Paul, who wrote Romans 13 and 2 Corinthians 11, talked about how he knew the governor wanted to arrest him. Instead of submitting himself to the governor and being arrested, he craftily fled down the side of a wall in a basket to escape the magistrate from arresting him.
Amen.
So,
right.
So the third thing, so anyways, yeah, that's the second thing. You know, it's an affront to good biblical hermeneutics, the idea that we're always to obey the civil authorities. And then thirdly, notice that there's limitation clauses in Romans 13. They are to punish those who do evil. They're to reward those who do good. So when they pervert their God-given role and begin to reward those who do evil and punish those who do good, we as his people have the duty to obey God rather than man. And when it comes to the civil authority, they have the duty to uphold their office and interposition against the evil of the other civil authorities. So like I always tell people, there's four great governments. There's family government, church government, civil government. Those are the three great ones.
With this group, so they understand the things that you're talking about, you know, testimony of two or more witnesses. The mayor got up and said, we got to obey the government. I got up and rebuked him basically, and everybody almost just came out of their seats cheering. So keep up the good work. Let's talk when we get out of here.
Thanks,
awesome.
John. Hey, Matt, by the way, the whole idea of churches being non-essential, churchmen, as you would call them, they did it to themselves, didn't they, Matt? The government had no authority to shut down churches.
Absolutely. No, they deemed themselves non-essential by shutting down. In fact, what's awful about that whole thing, Coach, is, you know, the history of Christianity. You've seen churchmen of old. They actually would block the doors of their church to keep the state out of their building.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now here the state is blocking the churchmen from coming into their building, and these churchmen actually obey.
Amen.
I mean, you have the story of Ambrose with Emperor Theodosius. You have John Chrysostom with Eusebius, and Eutropius, and literally scores of other examples. That's what churchmen would do. They would stand in their position against the state, check the state, who has gone beyond their authority, secure the righteousness and authority of the church. And unfortunately, what we now have are these churchmen who have gone along with aiding and abetting tyrants, because as churchmen and churches, we are in the best position to interpose. We have the least to lose. The businessmen are under the boot of the state.
Right.
We live in a fascist state where, you know, yeah, you have private property, but really, every business brings themselves under a massive body of law, regulation, and policy as soon as they put their shingle out. And so often the tyrants use businesses in order to get their tyranny down in the fabric.
Matt, I never thought of that. I never thought of that, Matt. If the church stood up, it would bring freedom to the businesses, wouldn't it? Individual businesses
would
take the lead from the churches.
Amen. And men would be pointed to Christ and to his good rule and those types of things. Unfortunately, the churchmen closed their churches, and what they did after that was even worse. Then they took money from the state because the state gave them money for closing their churches. The churches and religious organizations in America have received over $10 billion from the federal government for closing their church doors. So not only did they play the traitor against Christ by closing their church doors, they also played the whore and took the money from the federal government closed their church. This is wicked what has happened here.
It is. Larry Richardson. Come on in, Larry. Then Joe Allen, Heather G, and Vinny. Gotta unmute yourself, Larry.
Good morning, Matt. You know, a friend of mine, you may know him, Walt Meyer, he wrote a book, To Tame a Tyrant, all about basically the bottom line of what you've been saying. And he wrote this back in the 1990s, I guess, the early 90s. But I just want to say a couple of things. Number one, Henry McMaster, you said you had a conversation with him and stuff. I knew him back when he was the Attorney General of South Carolina before he became Lieutenant Governor and then eventually Governor. And I have seen him at meetings. I have seen him give two different answers to the same question to two different people that weren't standing close together because he gives the answer that he thinks the person wants to hear. That's the way he operates, and he has always operated.
Good politician, Larry.
Yeah, when he was Attorney General, I asked him, I said, why, when South Carolina files a lawsuit against the federal government, why do they go to a federal court? Why don't they follow the Constitution and file it with the Supreme Court as a court of original jurisdiction because a state is a party to the lawsuit? And he said, well, we just don't do it that way. So right then I knew that he didn't care what the Constitution said and never has and never will, I don't think.
Well, it's the nature of man to follow along, right? Follow the authorities. This is
the next thing is, you know, you mentioned all the people that have been trained to follow the lead of the pulpit in this false gospel and phony love doctrine and everything. Well, there may be somebody listening right now that may need this, because if you still think that we really got to follow the government and to be good Christians, we have to stay in line and not rock the boat and everything. Well, see, the doctor, the last two visits to my wife to the cancer cleaning and stuff, the doctor gave her some Vaseline to put on the biopsy spots where they took the flesh out for biopsies. And we never have used it. But for those of you that still think we need to bend over and everything, just send me your address. I'll send you one of these tubes of Vaseline because we're not going to use it. You can just hand to whoever tells you to bend over.
So thanks, Larry. So Matt, real quick, Joseph will get you in here in a second. So Matt, I'd like to use this example because people will say to me, well, Jesus didn't defy the authorities. Jesus didn't defy the emperor. Well, first of all, Matt, Jesus said to Pilate, you have no authority over me. And in other words, Jesus wasn't a Roman to begin with. Jesus' authority over him was the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the church, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he rebelled against them. Did he not, Matt? Isn't that how he got? Correct. Isn't that how he lost his head? He didn't pick a fight with the Romans. He picked a fight with those, the churchmen, who had authority supposedly over him.
Correct. Yep.
So when people say, well, he didn't get involved in politics, they don't even understand the political structure, the religious political structure over the top of Jesus. He flipped over tables, not in the city hall, but in the temple. Why? Because that's where the true authority laid. Come on in, Joseph.
Morning, Matt. As was we say in the South here, welcome to the woke Christian.
Okay.
But I have a statement more than a question. And I go back to the 1900s of this theory, and that's where you were under the Tavistock program.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I'm familiar with that.
Then when they put this in our face, we got the Rosicrucians and the Masons put up the Georgia Guidestones.
Mm.
So this Tavistock doctrine has been celebrated since the 1900s.
And Joseph, we know this. The scripture says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And Pastor Matt, you would have to agree that the men standing in the pulpit are some of the most ignorant Americans we have in regards to Christian history, civics, American history. Would you agree with that, Matt?
No, absolutely. I agree with that. And they pride themselves in their indifference towards civil government matters. And it's precisely their indifference that we're reaping the whirlwind that we are now in this country.
Oh, amen.
The churchmen have a duty to declare what God's word has to say, and his word addresses all matters of life, including matters of civil government. And because we've abandoned that realm by and large, we are seeing the consequence, because Christians have decided to be prideful in their idea that we shouldn't be involved in politics. Wicked men have filled the void because Christian men have left, because we've failed to bring Christian thought to bear upon civil government and civil authority. Now we have the worldview of wicked men, you know, their law, their policy, their court opinion ruling the land. So the first thing we need to do as Christians is repent, you know, for what we've done in our lack of fealty to Christ and his rule in the earth. And then, you know, call the nation to repentance, and then act, take action. It's not an either or. And I get that all the time from, well, we'll just pray about that. No, nowhere do you see that mentality where you just pray or you just act. It's not an either or. You pray and you act. In fact, the more you act, the more you see your need to pray. At least that's been my experience.
Amen. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted, and that's what we're seeing in America. Vinny, Randy, and Jack, come on in, Vinny. Vinny's in New York City. Go ahead, Vinny.
Hey, Pastor Matt, fantastic to speak to you. Thank you
for
mentioning that nature abhors a vacuum, because that's exactly what happens. You take God out of the situation, the devil creeps in. Very, very simply, I just said, if we could get a good teaching on 1 Corinthians 6:9. There's a word that's been mistranslated throughout the ages. The word is malakoi. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you're talking about homosexuality, homosexuals.
Well, beyond that, the word malakoi doesn't mean homosexual. Think about that.
What does it mean?
Yeah. The word homosexual didn't come around till lately, but it definitely was. Like, I took 3 years of Greek, and I haven't looked at that in quite a while now, and but I do know this. I do know that because I ran into it all the time when we were on the universities, which you can't go to anymore. but, you know, they'll say that, oh, there was no Greek word regarding homosexual acts or homosexual behavior or anything like that. And that's absolutely not true.
That's correct.
The word there used in Corinthians 6:9 was used in sources outside of Scripture, and they clearly related to sodomy and homosexual acts.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Vinny. Randy, come on in. Randy, Jack, and then Bernie. Randy's in Oklahoma.
Isaiah 9. Hey, thanks for all you're bringing, Matt. This is excellent teaching. I want to make a comment. In Isaiah 9:7, when Jesus was prophesied to come, you know, he will be called Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor. Okay. This is when he's going to hit the earth, coach. And it says what he's going to do. He's going to bring his government and all these things. We know all this. But then it says the zeal of the Lord will perform this.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, coach, that's the fire of God. Coach, when he turned the table, this is what he did when he turned the tables over. That wasn't him just pushing back against what they were doing in the temple. That was the fire of God, coach. That was the zeal that we should have in us to push back against Antichrist spirit. It isn't so much even about governing. It's just pushing back against anything that sets itself as up as God where it shouldn't be.
Amen, brother.
That's
Amen.
The fire of God. That's what we need in us. We need baptized with the fire of God.
Amen, Randy.
Amen.
I feel it in you, by the way. Come on in, Jack.
The King of England feared the greatest king of England, the people that ruled the world, feared the Black Robe Regiment. Today, they would not be very afraid of the Rainbow Regiment.
Well, the Rainbow Regiment's running everything, though, aren't they, Jack? Unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
Let's get Bernie in. Bernie Davis. Come on in, Bernie. Bernie's in the St. Louis area.
Hi. Hey, good to see you guys. First thing. Somehow we got off the problem. The problem is that we started giving more credence to the word of man, meaning especially science, Darwinism, instead of the word of God. Why don't we believe the word of God?
Amen. I don't know.
They lie so much. Everybody lies, and nobody values truth anymore. And the other thing, you know, we say friendship with the world, friendship to evangelism. I'm like, but didn't we know friendship with the world is enmity with God?
Amen. That's what it says, Bernie.
Huh? We missed that.
Amen.
And the other thing, I think, Coach, you did you say you were an English
minor
or something?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when they talk about love, well, love has to have an object, because love is a verb. The question is, what do you love, and for what love? Is it the love for your country, the love for God, or is it love for yourself and for your evil desire, love for sin? What is the object that your love is attached to?
Well, that's very important.
Excellent.
That's okay. Great. That's okay. A great. So we teach that friendship evangelism, and it is all love, love, love. So let me ask you this, Pastor Matt, real quickly. We're about solutions here. You were up there. You guys were up near where Kyle Rittenhouse, that whole thing went down, and you've been steadily outside the death camp there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Matt, it seems like the more we push, the farther behind we get, brother. Matt, what do we need to do, man? We've been saying here on our show that it's all become local. We've got to quit poking around so much the bear up in Washington, D.C., and we have to reestablish our own authority right where we live. I know you guys are doing that, Matt, there in Wisconsin. Do you have any suggestions for the rest of us here? Matt, we're here in here right now. There's 114 people in the queue. That doesn't mean that's all who's listening. Those are people who are able to interact with us in here, all from different states, sure. Matt. And we have all these people everywhere, all across the fruited plain, and yet we seem to be so powerless and to do anything about what's going on. Do you have any suggestions for us?
Sure. You know, your focus on the county government is absolutely right. We should still continue to prod and work with and, try to get our state magistrates to do their duty. But the county government is extremely important because things are breaking apart in the country, and they're going to continue to break apart in the country. And so, like here in the county I live in, Washington County, here in Wisconsin, our county issued 3 resolutions since all this COVID-19 nonsense started, all of them in defiance of what our governor was doing. Unfortunately, we're the only county in the whole state that has done that, even though we've tried to get other counties to do it. You know, I put my efforts here in the county I live in. We taught the magistrates here the doctrine of lesser magistrate. In fact, they gathered together to hear the doctrine. And there were about 60 people who came because they opened it up to the public too. But the mayor of the county seat was there, a couple legislators, the sheriff was there, common council members, school board members, county board members, all there, and taught them this doctrine a few years back, and have since then continued to follow up teaching them. So that is massively important. You have to teach like the doctrine of the lesser magistrate to your magistrates, but you need to teach them more than just that. You need to teach them what good governance looks like, because God's word addresses all matters of life, including good governance, and what is the proper role, function, and limits of civil authority. Extremely important to teach. So like our state declared itself, our county, I should say, declared itself essentially a sanctuary county 1 month into all the lockdown stuff, that no one had to follow it, no one had to obey it, and all that kind of stuff. And then 2 months after that, all of them reaffirmed their oath to the US Constitution and to our state constitution that they would uphold it. And then the month after that, in August last year, they actually issued a resolution calling upon our state legislature, which is overwhelmingly Republican. We have an overwhelmingly Republican legislature, both Assembly and Senate here in Wisconsin, and we have a Democrat governor. Mm. So they called upon the Republican legislature to do their duty and interpose against the governor. And we were the only county that did that. Unfortunately, our legislature has refused to do their duty and has instead parlayed with the governor in order to tyrannize. This is a great evil, is that whether Democrat or Republican, the magistrates by and large in any state want to politicize a situation rather than stop rather than stop evil, they want to politicize evil. They've done that to the preborn for nearly five decades. They're doing that with this COVID thing. You must stand up against it. And seizing power at the county level is massively important. We've already seen counties here that have become tyrants themselves in support of the governor. But we've seen other counties in our state county sheriffs who have defied this governor openly. So county government is massively important. I tell you, let me say this too, Coach Dave. The best thing, and it's a hard thing, but it is the best thing that God can do for us, is continue to judge us as a nation. And we have not had enough judgment yet by any means. There is no run on sackcloth and ashes down at the Ace Hardware. Anytime anything opens up, everybody wants to just go back to their self-absorbed little life. We haven't felt what we need to feel yet to see the repentance that needs to be shown in this nation. Not amongst God's people, not amongst the people in general. It is a mercy from God when he brings his judgment when a people are as wicked as we are in this country.
We are wicked.
And you
we
have a
wicked.
Government. Absolutely. And a government that's so wicked. And so that is one of the best things we have going for us. I believe the judgment of God is going to increase in this country until we repent. I preached about this yesterday in the pulpit. I did a sermon yesterday entitled The Justice of God and the Bad End of Tyrants. And one of the things I talked about was how repentance is one of the things that God uses when he's done with the tyrants, and then he brings his judgment upon them. He uses them for his purposes to bring repentance, and when it's brought, then he judges them. You see that time and again in scripture.
So old Joe Biden might be a blessing to us from God, that it might persecute us enough that we would actually stand up and fight back. You think that's a possibility?
Absolutely. Yep.
If Trump had won, we'd think everything was safe. We'd been back in the floating down the river in the Love Boat. And brother, this is a
right.
This is
and everybody would have still been distracted with everything that goes on by the Potomac. And that isn't the right. What you're talking about is right. What the other brothers are talking about is right. County government, local government, even state government. That's where the focus needs to be.
All politics local. Quickly, Jeff, come in. I'm trying to get new people in here. Okay, Jeff, and then Jim, and then Silver. Hurry up, Jeff.
Which Jeff? Me?
Yes.
Hey, good to hear you again, Pastor Matt. Pastor Bill Dunphy yesterday preached the message, the same thing you were just talking about. We haven't seen enough judgment yet, and it's coming. He hammered it, and then he tied it to Pastor Tony Spell. Coach, I've been telling people to go to that last Tuesday on the 16th and listen to Tony Spell. The people in the garage last week loved that. They were telling me yesterday. But you can go to the website, NBM Warsaw, and listen to Pastor Bill's message. But he tied it to all the same stuff you're talking about, Matt. We still use your book. We promote it.
All right. So listen, hey, Matt Asso, I'm going to send you the interview. We had Pastor Tony Spell on last week. I'm going to send you that just so you can hear his heart. No, this guy isn't a phony. He's one of us, and we need to come alongside him. Jim Caribou, come in. And then
hey, real quick, Pastor Bill called Pastor Tony last night. He put a phone call into him to chat with him.
Good. Come on, Jim.
We think of God's long-suffering and not having wrath with us yet.
Yes.
As approval of our sin.
Uh-huh.
Waiting for us to be obedient.
Yeah, he's long suffering, isn't he? Yes, that's right.
But we pursue, so we go on sinning thinking we're approved.
Yeah. No, it's not the way it is. Good word, Jim. Come on in, Silver.
Amen.
You know, when the nation stops sinning, when it stops killing its children, okay. And other things as well, such as homosexuality and things like that. If we restore our nation back to God, one aspect of that is just abortion. Do you know that it cost about $233,610 to raise a child that was born 3 years ago to the age of 18?
Yeah.
Want to kick the economy up? Quit killing the kids.
That's right, Joe. Hey, listen, I pray this whole thing crashes. If we have any hope at all, restoring justice and the American way. This system's got to come down, has to be rebuilt. I don't know, Pastor Matt, are we in position? Are the churchmen in position to rebuild this nation, Pastor Matt, if it were to crash?
The good ones are. And they're growing. There's good men coming to the fore. They're obviously in the vast minority still at this point. But one thing we know from scripture is God likes working with small bands of men in order to accomplish his purposes in the earth.
Amen. Amen. Folks, defytyrants.com. A lot of great stuff. Matt's, I didn't tell you this. Matt is an actual practicing pastor. He actually has a congregation. He actually takes his congregation to the streets. He actually teaches his congregation that if they're going to be part of his congregation, it requires some type of civil activity. This is what Christians do. And Pastor Matt, I believe, has been raised up by the Lord for such a time as this, because his voice is a clarity to Pastor Matt's voice that you do not hear from every pastor we see in America. Pastor Matt, thanks for joining us here today. We'll drive some folks to Defy Tyrants. Keep making those videos. And brother, we're behind you all the way. Hang in there, Matt.
Yeah.
We hang up a second. You hang in there with us, all right?
Sounds good.
Thanks for getting up with us. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.